So it's April 22, 2024, early morning. I hear the birds chirping. I'm on a bench in the park. This pod's about Sound and the Fury. It's with Harold Rogers, the boy Harold. We actually recorded this the eve of the solar eclipse, which was April 6th. I was debating whether to post this because I think when I talked to Harold about a book, sometimes we can just speak kind of incoherently in ways that only each other understand, especially with the book like Sound of the Fury, which is I thought I could say a few things real quick about kind of what we're talking about. And if you've read the book, maybe just skip ahead. But I think, you know, I want to stand by that idea that if you can't explain what you're saying to any person, it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't really matter. As a nugget of, you know, wisdom or whatever, you know. So Sound of the Fury by Faulkner. So he was born in 1899, I'm pretty sure. This came out in 1929. So it's, and it was also, I was reading it while I was writing Fuckboy and stuff like that. And Harold was too. Or he had already read Faulkner, but this is back in 2019. So I've gone through this a few times. But what you need to know about Sound of the Fury, if you haven't, or just reminder, if you haven't read it, is it's set over 4 days. Sound of the Fury, it's a 400 plus page novel, and there's four sections, and they take place, and like I said, we were recording this on April 6th, so it takes place, the first, third, and fourth chapter go April 7th, that's the first chapter, 1928, year before the book came out. The third part is April 6th, it goes back a day. The fourth and final part, like the four Gospels, is April 8th. And then the second section, and if you know, you look it up, that weekend is Easter weekend of 1928. So the first day is Holy Saturday. First chapter is Holy Saturday. The third chapter is Good Friday. And the fourth chapter is Easter Sunday. And then the second chapter is set 18 years before in 1910. In June, in a Thursday in June. I don't have the book on me. I can't remember the date. So, you know, you have the four Gospels. You're going through Easter weekend. And then there's a Thursday chapter. And it's told, and it's a family. So there's three brothers and one sister. It's Benji, who's the oldest brother. It's his 33rd birthday. And he narrates the Holy Saturday. And he's a little slow. He's slow. He's like a, you know, he's disabled. And it's told from his perspective. So every time, you know, I used to try to read this book a long time ago. And the first part is told from his perspective. So it's all over the place, the first section of that book. The second chapter, and there'll be some spoilers, but it's not really spoilers in Faulkner, you know. But the second chapter is told by Quentin, who's the kind of intellectual brother who goes to Harvard. And he's at school at Harvard. But this is the one that's 18 years before. And we learn later that he kills himself at the end of the day, the Thursday. He jumps off the bridge. That section is set. And the third section is the other brother, Jason, who's like a kind of materialist. He's like a money, you know, he runs the finances for the whole family, you could say. And then the last section is third person. Then, you know, Faulkner's writing from each perspective of a family member. And the last section is third person. And really what it is, though, it's because basically the fourth sibling is the sister, Caddy. And she has a daughter, and it's unclear who impregnates her when she's a teenager. And then she leaves the daughter with them. And that daughter's also named Quentin. And Quentin is in the daughter Quentin, not the Quentin who kills himself 18 years before the book is set, kind of has a resurrection at the end of the book and the end of the Easter day. So we're, you know, and basically that's kind of what this conversation is about. Harold also spent a little bit about Madame Bovary. You just read Madame Bovary, but I've just been thinking a lot about, you know, what it means to retell the Christ story. And there's also some biblical verses from, you know, Faulkner got a book called Absalom. So I was going back to the Absalom's one of the sons of King David in the Old Testament. So I was going back to the book of Samuel, where the Absalom part is told. And yeah, so, you know, Faulkner's growing up in Oxford, Mississippi, born in 1899, right? He's still a generation from slavery, just 30 years, right, after. So his family, so really what he's looking at is, I think he's looking at, like, different types of purity, these kind of corrosive types of purity, whether it's purity of race, you know, because they have the black caretakers in the home still. We're taking care of Benji and Dilsey. So there's the relics of that, and then there's the purity of kind of control over women, because, and I think these are kind of possessive, you know, just toxic outlooks towards other people, wanting to control people, wanting to own people, you know, spazzing out on, you know, kind of want to keep things pure. That's what it is. It's the obsession with wanting to keep things pure. And I think that's what it is. Like, that's what the kind of youngest relationships and that's what the sibling stuff is, I feel like, and the family stuff, you know. I just, and it's also this reverence for the retelling of the old stories, and I'm only really realizing now on a third read. So maybe the move is to go try to read Sound of the Fury and come back, but I don't think it is. I mean, I think it's a pretty funny conversation. Nothing else, we're just kind of spurging out on each other, but and we're going through the literally recorded on the literal dates that the novel is set from 96 years ago. So, you know, take it or leave it. And I've been doing some external reading about the Gospels and the meaning of Holy Week and things that happen every day. It shouldn't be too coherent. I shouldn't be just giving out free lessons to everybody. But this would be a good, hopefully, an intro to the book for someone who's interested, or a funny revisiting of the book.
I was feeling like I wasn't gonna do anything, and then out of nowhere I was fucking crying. Why you gotta call me out for crying in the play?
No, that's good. You know, it's good for everyone to know that you're emotive.
All the time shit's been passing. I don't even know how shit just happened. All the time you just been asking, and I knew it when.
What were you saying?
I was saying that I finished Madame Bovary this week.
Madame Bovary.
Yeah. And I think Andrew mentioned it on the last pod you did, but no. Do you know anything about it?
Not enough, dude. Not enough.
No, and that's a funny book in the fiction, auto fiction thing.
Okay, because
Flaubert's big famous line about it is, you know, Madame Bovary's me, right? You know, that's what he always.
Okay, yeah, exactly. That's his big line. That's what Andrew was saying about the lesbian.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
But. No, that's kind of funny. No, it's like funny in a,
yeah.
You know, yeah, Madame Bovary, she marries this doctor. I mean, the book starts out in like a classroom, and Charles Bovary pulls up to the class. He's a new student.
Okay.
He's out from the sticks in fucking France, right?
Yeah.
He's like some country bumpkin.
Yeah.
And all the kids are laughing at him. He got a big dumb hat. You know, okay. He's just getting roasted.
Okay.
So, you know, he's a pathetic fool from the first page.
Yeah.
They marry some lady, some widow, and she dies. And he's taking care, he's a doctor, right? He's taking care of this older dude.
Okay.
The older dude got this pretty young daughter, and they end up getting married, right? And
that's Madame Bovary.
Yeah, it's Emma, right?
And
she's like, she gets intoxicated by all these, she's reading all these novels, and she got this big romantic idea, but she lives out in the countryside, right? And so she don't got, you know, she's with this guy who's lame, and, you know, she wishes he was make something of himself. And, you know, she starts having these little affairs with some dudes. And then what really gets her in trouble is she starts buying a bunch of shit. Like, she starts buying, like, really nice curtains and all these shit.
Oh, wow.
And there's this salesman kind of duping her to buy this shit. And she gets in all sorts of crazy debt, right? And she, like, at the end of the book, she gets, she's in debt to everybody. And she's going to all her old lovers. She's asking, like... You know, she's trying to fuck people for money almost. She's just so desperate because the guy doesn't even know. Like, her husband doesn't even know. He doesn't know she's having affairs. Doesn't know she's in debt.
This is a goofy guy who moved to town.
Yeah, the Charles Bovary.
The doctor.
The doctor. And she's duping him completely, you know. And then she ends up...
Scary, dude.
Yeah, and then she ends up running to the pharmacist shop and eating a bunch of arsenic, you know.
Okay.
And then, you know, as she's dying, she realized, oh, shit, you know, this doofy, fucking pitiable guy was the only one who really loved me. Wow. You know, he loved me. And then it ends, and she got a daughter the whole time. She's ignoring her daughter, and, you know.
Tragic, dude.
It's tragic, but it's kind of like almost told in a, it, there's definitely like an ironic, funny tone to the whole thing.
Okay, okay.
And the way she's like, she desperately racks up all these debts is really crazy.
Damn.
She really loves stuff.
You just finished it?
Yeah, just I finished it this week. In the Lydia Davis translation.
Right? Ah, so that's interesting. That's also a suicide book.
Yeah, yeah,
same
true.
With,
Karenina. Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
And that's Karenina is after.
How was the flow? Was it making you think of anything?
Yeah, it was. It was just like it's really like, you know, they talk about his style all the time, right? You know, but it was like richly imagistic, right? Like everything was, you know, paragraph. This is what everything looked like, the smells and everything, and describing her outfit she's wearing perfectly. You know, the guy had an eye for clothes, yeah, for sure, you know. And I was kind of like, damn, you know, I think that goes a little overboard sometimes. I don't like describing it all like that.
Yeah.
Even though it's good to read and not, I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
But like having some of that,
mm-hmm,
you know, is pretty sick.
Yeah.
You know, just like building that up, you know, this is just what everything looks like, you know.
Yeah.
Nabokov, I finished Otter Arter.
You did?
Before that.
Damn.
And he's on that same shit. You know, those books are in conversation, you know.
That's not more modernist, or it's just...
Nabokov for sure, you know, for sure more modernist, but he's still does...
Crazy descriptions.
The descriptions are crazy, you know. Yeah. They're in a different style, but it's still crazy descriptions, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like I never describe what anyone looks like. Yeah. You know?
Interesting. Interesting. Damn, dude.
Which is okay. I feel like when I'm reading,
yeah,
I don't like picture nothing in my head when I see the descriptions, right? Like, it's almost like, I don't know about you, but like, it's not like I'm visualizing the scene.
Right. Yeah. I know. I go back and forth
on that.
I don't even know what I picture. You know, I got a friend who, two people I know can't, they got aphantasia. They can't picture nothing in their head.
Hmm.
Right? And they ask me, what do you picture when you're reading? And I was like, I don't even know. I don't even pay attention to that.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, dude. Damn.
Yeah, did you... So she's you, are you on her side though, or is she like a femme fatale kind of?
I think that it's like, you know, I think a lot of people say she's unlikable or whatever like that, but I have sympathy for that. You know, she just got duped by the world. She got duped by the world's values.
Okay,
right? You know, that's what happened, and you know, in the place of the salesman, those are just the world's values duping her.
What year are we talking?
This is 1856.
1856,
yeah.
Okay.
It was his debut.
Okay.
It was a big scandal.
Why was it a scandal?
Just because it was like, you know, she was sleeping around and stuff like that. Just lurid. I think it was a big scandal.
Right.
He was there's some of that in Compass talking about his letters and stuff where he was a
big pervert.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a pervert. He was definitely slept with married women and you know, he was definitely a pervert.
We're talking about the extramarital. I mean, that's what Mary McCarthy's all about. That's what Andrew's books are kind of all about too.
Yeah.
That was funny. I just broke it down to him being a sex writer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was...
Were you thinking about Faulkner at all, or...
Was I thinking about Faulkner? Yeah. I'm always thinking about
Faulkner. You're always thinking about Faulkner. Because, you know, today's... Okay, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to tell you some things. Now, I'm a little bit... I'm like, is this too esoteric for the people? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if it's too esoteric, I mean, well, you know, this can go
okay,
off
well,
in
here's
the
some,
ether.
So, yeah, I guess some of the wild things... Well, first of all, you know, we're currently right in the middle of the Sound of the Fury weekend.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because Sound of the Fury is just 3 days... In 1928, it's Easter weekend is April 6, 7, 8, and today's damn April 6th.
Yeah.
And there's an eclipse tomorrow. Okay, get this, bro.
But Quentin's on the wrong day.
Quentin's on Thursday.
He's on Thursday, but it's not the weekend. It's in June.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's important.
It's a random
Thursday.
I think
that's important.
Oh, why?
Okay, no, but you go first.
I thought it was Ascension Thursday. I was looking.
Yeah. Oh, that day in June?
But it's not.
No. No, I'll tell you why it's...
But it connects to Absalom.
Yeah. Nah. Oh, that day?
We can't too nerd it out.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
We can't too nerd it out. No, no, but that's just... I mean, that's just wild that it's the same time. Also, the eclipse tomorrow... Like another thing that was blowing my mind. Also, Benji's 33. Like I went back, started like reading from the beginning.
Oh, you're in your Benji year.
Yeah. So basically, I'm in my Benji year right now, and then, basically, I mean, I just read the Quentin chapter super slow, and it was the first time that, I literally have three physical versions.
Yeah.
And I've read them all like marginally really hard. Yeah. You know, like
yeah.
And so this is literally the third time. So it's like, and this time, nothing was going past me.
Yeah.
It was super good. Yeah, you know, like the book actually makes total sense.
Yeah, for sure. But you got to hit it a few times.
But the Quentin chapter, I had my whole thing about, the epiphany that the Quentin chapter is actually, it's like Monday, Thursday kind of. Do you know what I mean?
Or
it's like the Thursday night because I've been reading. But here's another thing, dude.
Yeah.
Like, another epiphany I had was that like, it's about to be eclipse tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
And what does that mean?
Well, so after Maundy Thursday, like Jesus goes out after the Passover supper, right? And he's held all night and persecuted by different people. Then at noon, the sky clouds over.
Oh, yeah.
Because an eclipse is happening.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Solar eclipse. And he gets nailed at noon.
Yeah.
And then at 3 p.m., he dies.
Yeah.
But there's eclipses aren't that often.
No.
Why is there an eclipse right now? Like, and it's the vernal new moon.
And what's
this is why I can't say this. This is why I can't talk too much on the track. No, it's just it's just wild because, I'm Benji for real, dude. I'm 33, dude.
What is a vernal new moon?
Well, the vernal full moon.
Yeah.
Is what determines Passover.
Oh shit.
And Easter.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first full moon of spring.
Yeah.
Right. The first Sunday after is Easter.
Oh.
And right?
Yeah, yeah. So but the new moon's right
this
after.
This eclipse is happening on the new moon tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just saying, dude.
Yeah. Wow, it connects.
33.
You know that.
It's about me. It's because I'm 33. You know?
You know that's. Do you remember, I don't know, when we read Sound of Fury for McDonald's class, I had an epiphany that was it's the Gospels, right? But it was every one of the characters that get a chapter is like a version of a failed Christ figure. The whole thing
is all Christ figures.
They're all Christ figures, failed Christ figures, right? And I was trying to find the email I sent you because I know I snapped off on something, but I couldn't find it.
Oh, wow, wow.
And the reason is so we get Benji is on Saturday. Right?
Yeah.
He can't be the savior because he's sealed up in the tomb. He can't talk, right? He's 33. He got everything to be the savior. He's 33, but he can't talk. He's sealed up in the tomb.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Quentin is, he actually dies, but
at the end
it's
of the
on
night.
The wrong day, right?
Why is it on the wrong day?
It's in June.
Right,
right.
It's out
of the Easter cycle.
Right, right.
There's definitely another reason why he can't be Christ. Though I don't know. Because Quentin's the only one who gets a resurrection in the book. Quentin gets a resurrection.
Listen.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Tell me about Quentin.
Yeah, Quentin gets a resurrection.
Yeah,
so,
he does.
So like Maundy, like, yeah, Maundy Thursday, it's all about going out.
Yeah.
I mean, going out past when you're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what, you're not supposed to go out at night or whatever. He goes out and then he gets the theory I was reading, I was reading that Emil Bach book,
about the
3 years reading the Gospels. And he's, the main trifecta drama of Maundy Thursday is between Mary Magdalene, Jesus, and Judas.
Okay.
Did I spit this to you already?
A little bit,
but let me say it. Because it's like, so basically like, And the way Emil Bach's reading it is like all three of them are kind of in all of us.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And Maundy Thursday is, I mean, it's also, it's the Thursday right around the vernal full moon.
Yeah.
Just anyway. But so basically, Jesus forgives Mary Magdalene, right? And then there's a whole thing with the perfume.
Yeah.
and she pours a perfume
yeah,
on
his
feet.
Yeah, she washes his feet.
Right, with the perfume. And then Judas gets all upset that Mary Magdalene wasted all,
yeah.
you know, but he's being a little bit like Jason a little bit, you know what I mean?
JC, Jason Thompson.
Wow. Right, so Jason, Jason is...
And he gets
see,
the...
I'm still reading that
Jason
one.
Gets the crucifixion day, Friday.
He gets a Friday, but I thought, okay, so basically, and that whole chapter with Quentin, right, like, there's like the sin of... I don't know. There's just so much smells. I thought the honeysuckle was like the perfume. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And he keeps smelling the thing. And then, you know, then all night Jesus is being held.
Yeah.
And questioned.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, the part of the Quentin chapter. So Quentin's, it's just one day.
Oh,
on
Quentin's
Thursday.
Getting questioned because
he's getting questioned because he talks to a little girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, damn Julio, damn her dad, you know, and the cops are like, are questioning him.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, and then he has to give like a coin, you know, $5 to him because he had to leave work to, because he's with this little girl and he keeps getting hit with the flashbacks of Caddy
because he's,
you know,
trying,
I mean,
to save her innocence, right? Because, you know, the scene that it keeps going back to is Caddy, they're up on the tree seeing their grandma's funeral, right? Everyone's out of the house, the grandma's dead, and they climb up the tree to see it, and he sees Caddy's underwear,
right?
And it's muddy.
Right.
From the, you know, she got muddy underwear.
I mean, I think something happened. Because she has, like, when I was reading this time, like, he's with the little girl, and he keeps getting hit with memories of being with Caddy.
Yeah.
And it seems like she was pregnant, but then was going to marry someone.
Yeah, she was good. She married that guy who was from, I forget the guy's name.
Dalton Ames?
Yeah, Dalton Ames, who's from French Lick, Indiana.
Right, right.
Where Larry
right.
Bird's from.
Yeah, who's it from?
Larry Bird's from.
Larry Bird's from. Yeah, you ain't never had a sister, dude.
Yeah.
And then, but basically, you ain't never had a sister. And they're like, he's like, what happened? He's like, I don't know, dude. He just, last thing I heard was, you said, you know, you ain't never had a sister. You spazzed out.
Yeah.
But then he's like,
but Dalton doesn't marry her. It's the other guy.
The guy
from Indiana. Dalton Ames
from
Indiana.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I thought. I started getting confused when Dalton started leaking in. But, you know, then he's like with the little girl. And then,
the other guy raises Caddy's. Caddy gets pregnant and the other guy raises it, I think. She gets married off to another guy because Dalton don't want it.
Right. But I think he, because at the end he's like, father, I committed incest.
Yeah. But you,
And they're rolling.
Oh, you think he actually did something?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You got to read it close,
dude. Yeah.
There's a couple parts that's pretty clear.
I always thought my reading was, you know, I always tried to like, but, you know, go. Everyone says it's an incest. And I'm like trying to like, no, it's a metaphorical incest. You
well,
know,
dude, I mean, but he's, I mean, he doesn't, dude, that's another thing. Like the Absalom part, I was reading that. Like, you know what that story's about? Like Absalom kills.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the same thing. Like they're all sister siblings.
Yeah.
And it's Tamara.
Oh.
Or Tamara.
Oh, Absalom got a sister.
Yeah. I could pull it up. But
you
basically
got a sister.
But basically, this other dude, rapes his sister.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, in the Absalom story?
In the Absalom story. So he's kinda retelling biblical stuff, but.
And you were saying Absalom's the Old Testament and Sound the
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But basically, he's getting questioned all night and then at the end he jumps off the bridge.
Yeah.
You know? And that bridge and then while he's on the bridge initially, there's like these three boys and they have the whole thing with the fishing pole.
Yeah,
you remember
that's
that
true,
where it's like, $25, like would you take the fishing pole or would you take the $25? Like I'd take the $25 and then damn, but
in the fishing, right?
Fisher,
you know, that's
exactly,
Jesus stuff
exactly,
too. The whole
exactly.
book is Christed out to the extreme.
But I guess the three forces inside us is like, there's like the Mary Magdalene who's like being forgiven for her sins. Jesus who knows he's going to go out and he's going to be sacrificed at the end.
Yeah.
He's going to be killed at the end. He still goes out nonetheless, which is according to like Emil Bach, that's the most powerful day because that's the most powerful act in human history because it's like complete, complete infinite love, which really what Jesus should be about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like complete love for everybody. And then Judas is the one who's like all like, you know, he's upset about him forgiving Mary Magdalene and, you know, he betrays, betrays her and stuff like that. And then, I guess I thought, he dies at the end, right?
Yeah.
And then that's Thursday, which I never fit into it. And then Holy Saturday, which is technically today, April 7th, the Benji chapter. He's 33. He's damn, that's
he's
the
sealed
Saturday.
Up in the
he's
tomb.
In the tomb.
Yeah.
So it's completely nonverbal. And then I just started the Friday. Well, I was thinking the Friday was like, you know, because Jesus is, who's he getting interrogated by?
Pontius Pilate.
Yeah, Pontius Pilate, but who above that? Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So like so then they're like, they're saying he's creating,
yeah,
going against the power, like that's that who Caesar is, like I thought Caesar was like Jason, like controlling
oh,
everybody with like their money and with the money and
but that's a Judas thing too, right? That money,
the greedy thing.
Yeah, the greedy
that's
thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Did he betray? Is there any Judas reading of Jason? Like did he? Well,
I just started that one, dude.
Yeah.
I just started. That's April 6th. I was reading them like synced up. You know what I'm saying? But it's such a funny transition when you finish Quinn chapter. Yeah. And it's like, once
that,
a bitch, always
so
a bitch.
Crazy.
Dude.
That yeah. book's so crazy.
But then,
crazy.
Of course, little
Quinn. That's how it starts. Once a bitch, always
yes.
a bitch.
But listen. Listen. Once, so funny, yo. Dude. Like, he's snapping, dude. That first
yeah,
page.
He's crazy.
I was on the train reading the first page of the Jason chapter. Yeah. And I was like, damn, you're covering yeah. my, just like the fucking ends. And the, it was
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
I was like, you're talking to, like, I can't even, this is like dangerous, dude. I was hiding it. But. Yeah, and then of course, like, you know, I thought, like, it's unclear who, because Caddy's already pregnant. He's like, you can't marry, you're already pregnant.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he says, Father, I've committed incest.
Wow, you think he knocked
then,
her up? That's
and then
crazy.
Quentin is the daughter of that, little Quentin.
Oh, that's, oh, because Caddy leaves her behind.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So it's like literally the offspring of Quentin. Possibly. Wow,
possibly.
And then she is.
Yeah.
He dies and she resurrects.
I thought a big part of Quentin's frustration is that Caddy doesn't want anything with him.
You want me to pull up the parts, bro?
Well, if you could.
there's some dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just my fucking
my
perverted ass reading
him.
It like that, but. No, and at the end, he explicitly says, Father, yeah. I've committed incest.
You know, that was, you know, I imagined, I know there's one scene.
Should I rip that Absalom part?
Where he,
maybe give it a little time.
Quentin is thinking, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But Quentin, so I always associated with like, Lear and Cordelia is how I thought of Quentin and.
That's what I was saying when I was out. I was like, Quint is just Hamlet. And I was like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, because.
Why?
Lear
and Cordelia.
Yeah,
yeah
Lear
okay.
and Cordelia.
Because,
I mean, that's kind of a weird, like, father-daughter, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
But, you know.
But he's not father-daughter. I got to read that Absalom bit to you.
Yeah, okay.
It's literally explicitly what happens.
Yeah, but I just always associate, cause there's one scene where Quentin's thinking about him and Caddy in hell together, away from everything like that. And, you know, there's a passage in Lear when Lear is late in the book, you know.
Okay.
Thinking about him and Cordelia alone together, away
yeah.
from everyone else,
yeah.
like, and they're finally
yeah.
free because they
yeah.
can be alone. And, you know, that's once Cordelia is dead, right?
Right.
But read the Absalom part if you
oh,
can
yeah.
find it.
Well,
yeah.
it's just crazy. I mean, you know, it's Samuel 14-something that he's referencing.
Yeah. It's David's son, right? King David's son.
King David's son, yeah.
And I think it's his punishment for getting that woman's husband killed. You know that story of David.
That comes later in the story, though.
Oh, it's later.
I think. Dude,
yeah.
Because I remember you telling me that.
I always thought it was his.
And I was looking at
But him. I never read Samuel all the way through.
Yeah, I got to read Samuel all the way through. But it's basically, no, we're back before this, dude. Just Bible studies on fucking
yeah.
on Sunday, dude.
Well, it is Sunday. It's appropriate,
dude. This eclipse, dude. This is wild.
The pre-eclipse.
The fucking. No, yeah, and I guess it might have more to do with Absalom, but
yeah. No, I mean those books got everything to do with each other.
Yeah, exactly. But it's Amnon. It's Amnon and Tamar, and then Absalom kills Amnon for this.
Oh, okay.
But basically, it's like. Yeah, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David.
Oh, okay.
Dude, this is crazy,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
This is what.
Yeah.
Amnon became so obsessed with his sister, Tamar, that he made himself ill. She was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Now Amnon had an advisor named Jonadab, son of Shimea, David's brother. Jonah was a very shrewd man. He said to he says to Amnon, he goes, "What do I do? I'm obsessed with this with Absalom's sister."
Yeah. Right?
And then he goes, "Why do you, king's son, look so haggard this morning? Why do you look so fuck? You know, won't you tell me?" And Amnon goes, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Go to bed and pretend to be ill," he says to him. "When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'I would like my sister Tamar to come and give me something to eat.'"
Oh my God.
"Let her prepare the food in my sight so I may watch her and then eat from her hand."
Yeah.
Shiesty ass. Yeah. Dude, what the hell? What kind of fucking date rape techniques is this, dude? Go to bed and pretend to be ill, dude? So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. The repetition, nice repetition there.
Yeah.
Very. When the king came to see him, Amnon said, "I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so I may eat from her hand."
Ooh.
David sent to send word to Tamar. Chill, bro. You got to see what's about to happen. David sent word to Tamar at the palace. Go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him. Just Sound and Fury vibes here. So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, made the bread in his sight, and baked it. Nice. Then she took the pan and served him the bread, but he refused to eat. "Send everyone out of here," Amnon said. So everyone left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food here into my bedroom so I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the bread and she had prepared that she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, "Come to bed with me, my sister."
Oh,
dude, this is crazy, bro. Like, this is what I think this is what Falky's doing. Yeah. He's not. And she goes, "No, my brother," she said to him, "don't force me.
Yeah.
Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing.
Wow.
What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would like to be one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you." She's basically saying, "We get married."
Yeah.
But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her.
Oh my God. Is that what it says?
I'm reading it verbatim, dude. "Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred."
Oh my
God. Dude, this is
what, that's like Joe Christmas.
He was blackout.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. Faulkner's blackout and he's reading this and he's like,
okay.
He's like, I got to figure out what this is all about. So he listen, dude, and he goes, then he hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, "Get up and get out." This is crazy, bro. I was reading this the other day, like, what the fuck? "No," she said to him, "sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you've already done to me."
Yeah, now she wants to stay.
You better chill, bro. But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servant and said, "Get this woman out of my sight," and bolt the door after her.
Wow. He's like Future.
Dude, he's like Future for real, dude. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. She was wearing an ornate robe.
Wow.
For this was the kind of garment.
It's like Flaubert.
Yeah, the virgin daughters of the king wore.
Whoa.
Tamar put ashes.
Oh, shit. She got to put a different robe on now.
Different dress, dude.
Oh,
dress
shit.
Got all wet. And when they run
shit,
back,
Caddy's
dress is getting all wet, and they're wrestling around. And
oh shit! Wow, you're okay. You might be onto something.
Down. And then what's the craziest part is when he's walking around with the little girl he meets. Quentin is. He gets off the train. Once he gets off the train, it's that stretch with walking around with the little girl, and he's getting hit with all the memories.
Yeah.
It's fucking most.
Yeah.
But basically, then he runs back into the kids, who are fishing.
Yeah.
And she's like in the water. Then like right before he gets caught, they're like in the river for some reason. And he's getting flashbacks to Caddy.
Yeah.
So she has to get a new robe, right? And then it goes, Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornate robe she was wearing.
Wow.
Torn dress.
Yeah.
She put her hands on her head and went away, weeping aloud as she went. Then it goes, her brother Absalom said to her, "Has that Amnon, your brother, been with you?" That's Absalom says.
Yeah.
"Be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take this thing to heart." And Tamar lived in her brother Absalom's house, a desolate woman. And then it goes, when King David heard all this, he was furious. And Absalom never said a word to Amnon, either good or bad. He hated Amnon because he had disgraced his sister Tamar. And the next part is called Absalom Kills Amnon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, the Bible's crazy.
The Bible's crazy, dude. So, and then it goes into Absalom. Yeah, I was so blown away by it. That's just 13. That's 13 up to 22.
Yeah.
1 through 22.
Wow.
Of Samuel 2.
You know, that's...
And then Absalom returns to Jerusalem. Yeah. Some kind of return home.
Wow.
Isn't that... Jesus returned in Jerusalem on Holy Week, right?
You know, Ada or Arder, the Nabokov, is his incest stuff, too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
There's a lot of sister stuff, too. Yeah.
I think that is like... It's almost... I think Nabokov might be playing off the Sound of the Fury with that.
Yeah, he's playing off Sound of the Fury, talking shit about Sound
Fury. Yeah, well, he does the same thing about Finnegan's Wake, and he's playing off that. So I think he's, you know...
Yeah, trying to throw him off the scent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I was reading something...
There's some sister incest. It's all about sister incest stuff, right?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
No, but... that's funny. I was like... Just to briefly... digress. I was reading something, some article. I was like looking up stuff after I finished Nabokov. I was reading someone talking shit about him, saying he was like, oh, he was a rude man because the way he talked about other writers and shit. Mm. But I think that was all like a pose, like you know, just a public pose.
Yeah, he was just stunting, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the funniest part when I was talking to Andrew. Yeah. Like when writers just get to a certain phase where they just spit in riddles all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was
funny. He's just trying to spit riddles on the people, dude.
Yeah, it's just riddles. Yeah, it's just riddles. And that
it's kind of fun. It's kind of good fun back then. Some sparring.
Yeah, that biblical stuff is interesting, though. And like we've been talking about lately, just like from that guy Davenport or whatever, like going back to the archaic.
Exactly.
I mean, that's Faulkner's doing that all the time, right? He's doing
to the point where I got to understand why. Yeah, that's probably one of the driving forces of me to think of it in that context, right? Because you just know he's retelling old stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's crazy, right?
But okay, so we got Quentin, Benji. They aren't our Christ, right?
Or no, they're Christ on the different days. Benji's Christ on Holy Saturday,
but they're not the Savior. That's what I always thought of it of. They're Christ that didn't save. They're failed Christ. Mm. Right? Because the whole thing... Well, now it might be...
But
yeah, go ahead.
I mean, because the only thing... Benji's... But being a Christ-like figure is to know you're going to fail. And you walk in with love, dude.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right? But the resurrection comes out with somebody... Like the incest daughter. Like, I just think that symbol is so beautiful, dude.
Yeah. The... Yeah, I mean the resurrection. The I think that's Quentin. I think that's the best. That's one of the best scenes.
Quentin
ever
Quentin, little Quentin.
But little Quentin when she flees on Easter morning. Yeah. On the Sunday, right?
No, I thought Jason was like represented like the state kind of.
Yeah, I mean he's definitely like that a little bit, but I think he might have some Judas shit.
Okay, yeah.
To him too.
Yeah,
but Quentin leaves. And she gets her own salvation. Like, the salvation for the family is the fact that Quentin, she broke the whole Compson cycle of destruction, but left on her own.
Right.
She free doing her own thing. Right. Everyone else is stuck with the faulty Christ, the Christ that don't Christ. You know what I'm saying? Because the whole point of Christ is salvation, right? Without the salvation, like, the resurrection is null, the crucifixion don't mean anything. Without the salvific aspect. Right,
but how does that happen? How does salvation happen? What do you mean?
I guess I just see it as like, I guess
she completes the week. She completes.
Yeah, she completes it, but for herself.
Okay.
In a certain way, especially the dead Quentin is redeemed because Quentin lives on and he's free. To do because
it's
okay.
Quentin dying that allows her to resurrect.
Yeah, for sure. So there's a very specific salvation. Benji gets left behind. He gets shut up in the asylum. He's in the tomb forever at the end, right? That's what happens to him
because he was grabbing the girls.
Yeah. these Compsons.
That's what I'm saying.
Grabbing
that's
girls. Yeah, that's what I'm out saying. Of control. And Jason's. Jason's. You know, he lost his money. He's stuck. You know, JC. He's on the cross. Forever, right? Benji's in the tomb forever.
Right.
Jason's on the cross forever. And then we got Dilsey, who, in my mind, it was always like, that's the only third person, you know, in the book, right? It goes first person, first person, third person.
Right.
And that was always like, that's why Dilsey, that's Faulkner's own failure. He can't go the first person of the, you know, the person with unconditional love for the whole family, right? Dilsey or whatever, you know, he can't make that leap. So that's why that's a failure of salvation there. Okay. You know, if he could have made that leap to imagine her first person, you know, that would have been
he would have been saved?
You yeah, say? I don't know. That's just what I always thought. Like, you know,
right.
Faulkner can't, you know, he knows it in himself almost.
Right.
You know.
I mean, I think I'm simultaneously trying to understand the gospel story as I try to understand this story. You know what I'm saying?
Because it is gospel. Give me a beer. Because it is a God. It's for, right? You know, I mean, it's and it's Christed out. Like, it's the gospels for sure. Thanks. What'd you grab? Yeah. You grabbing?
Just the Sound of Fury. But, you know, well, it's also, you know, it's also, yeah, it's the gospels, but it's also just, you know, just Easter. It's Easter weekend. I don't know. I think there's, yeah, I feel like.
And they finally go to church in the Dilsey section, right? And they hear the preacher.
Okay.
And what the fuck does the preacher say? You know,
Faulkner
dialects that part the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, I think they take Quentin to church. Or no, they take Benji to church. Dilsey does.
We're in that right now, too.
They go with with Luster and all them.
Yeah.
And what the fuck does the preacher say? And Dilsey goes, I saw the beginning and the end. Right, she saw the beginning and the end of the Compson family. This is the end, but Quentin gets away and she's saved.
Damn. Yeah, dude.
And then it ends. What's the last lines?
The last lines is, Ben's voice roared and roared. Queenie moved again. Her feet began to clop steadily again. And at once Ben hushed. Luster looked quickly back over his shoulder. Then he drove on. The broken flower drooped over Ben's fist. And his eyes were empty and blue and serene again as cornice and facade flowed smoothly once more from left to right. Post and tree, window and doorway and signboard, each in its ordered place.
Each in its ordered place is the end.
But dude, I mean, and what?
That's funny because it's such a chaotic book.
Yeah, Weinstein's book was just, yeah, I mean, the end of the Quentin part, right on, it ends on 222.
Yeah.
The flashback to when, yeah, it's just...
See, that's one thing, like, thinking about the Sound of the Fury, thinking about, like, Madame Bovary even, just on a different note, just like how, you know, I think people got an idea of these books as these dusty, boring things in a certain way, but, like, one, like, Madame Bovary is full of drama and happenings the whole time, and the Sound of the Fury is, too, like, it's full of... Mm-hmm. Like drama and happenings the whole time. Like that, you know, it's to make a great work of literature, you need fucking shit to happen.
True.
Like dramatic shit to
true.
Happen
true.
All the time, you know? That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like boring and, you know, fucking whatever, like a dusty tome. You know what I'm saying?
Is Bovary like that?
Yeah, it's real dramatic the whole time. You know, it's fast paced in that way.
This is what Weinstein always talks about, where he goes, you know, this is right before he finally pays off the damn the policeman and Julio, the damn immigrant dad, that little girl who didn't speak English. He was feeding bread and running around the water with. I mean, dude, so much sister stuff, dude. But basically,
Faulkner,
yeah.
Who did not have a sister.
Yeah, and I... but let no man prescribe for another man's well-being. And I temporary. Temporary is the saddest word of all.
Temporary is the saddest word of all.
And there is nothing else in the world. It's not despair until time. It's not even time until it was. It's not even time until it was.
Wow. See, like that the whole thing's about
passed.
Time,
everything's
too.
Already, yeah. That's what Bible which is about. It's like looking back. Yeah. It's like everything. Yeah. It's not even time until it was. It's, everything's already passed. Temporary, you know?
Temporary
is the saddest word, dude.
You know, that's that. That last Nabokov's all on that too. He's definitely thinking about the Sound of Fury.
Definitely,
there's no way.
There's no way
he's not. But I think Nabokov's jealous that Faulkner's such an American writer.
Dude,
he's a
I
you
mean,
know
Faulkner's yeah,
but
Faulkner's
so yeah, that Quentin shit's all about time too. But I still think like I think that the him knocking up Caddy's an interesting reading, but I really do think of Quentin as Lear.
The first time I read it.
And his attitude toward these girls as like, I think he's like a mad old man in a lot of ways. Because, you know, Faulkner says he came up with Caddy thinking about, just imagine a fucking daughter that, or his daughter was just born or something like that. He's thinking of this in father's daughter shit.
Right.
I think,
right.
You know, so I think he thinks of it as Lear, but it also could be he knocked.
Yeah.
Up, you know, he, what's the dude's name in the Bible? Absalom's brother? Amron
or something like that.
Cameron.
Yeah. Did you ever have a sister?
Yeah.
Did you?
No. That's it. And then in the Absalom line, it's like, you know, when Henry and the other, who's Charles Bond.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where they're riding out. And he says, Henry goes, "I'm your brother." And Charles, you're my brother. And he goes, "No, I'm not. I'm just a fucking, and fucked your sister."
Right.
Which is a crazy line.
Right.
Your Faulkner's crazy.
Yeah, he's.
See, yeah.
But see, that's what I was thinking.
Funny. Noah writes crazy like
I know.
The
I mean, dude,
the Bible. Noah's writing crazy like this.
Yeah, just me, dude.
Yeah.
The beginning of the Jason part is totally crazy. I thought it was kind of controlling the people with the money. And
yeah,
the
I think that's like, probably part of it.
That's what he's.
He's Caesar. I like that. Yeah, because that's funny. That's on Crucifixion Friday.
Dude, this is so crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It starts out, once a bitch, always a bitch, what I say. Jason talking. I says, you're lucky if her playing out of school is all that worries you. He's talking about, you know?
Yeah.
I say, you're lucky if her, you know, missing school is all that worries you. I says, she ought to be down in that kitchen right now instead of up in her room.
Yeah.
Gobbing pain on her face and waiting for six that can't even stand up out of a chair unless they've got a pan full of bread. And meat to balance him to fix breakfast to her. And mother says, but the school authorities.
Yeah. No, see, Jason's crazy too because he's also like inept. He's totally inept.
Is he?
Yeah, because I mean.
No, didn't Benji get castrated?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Benji got
castrated. No, he's not impotent.
Oh, he's not impotent.
No, I mean, like,
as a human, he's inept.
Yeah, he's inept. Mm. Like, his leadership is out of control, right? He can't even hold on to his cash. Like, the fucking teenage girl steals all his money. Like, he's totally inept as the state or whatever it is.
Right. But, yeah.
Once a bitch, always a bitch.
That battle between, the state and the, you know. Because, I mean, what's really, I don't know. I guess the Christ story, I just been. Yeah, I don't really have a good explanation. I just think of that time of year, what it could mean for everyone. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean to, like, go out
and
after supper?
Yeah.
On Maundy Thursday. Like, what does that, you know, like, for every human, like, every spring? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? I've been thinking about that. You know? I don't know what the salvation is, but I do like the idea of it coming back in a different person.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Like, something about that.
No, I love that. I love that.
Hitting me, dude.
No, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
And then just formally, like, yeah, it was just reminding me of all the other shit we're talking about with the Inard and just folding things back on. Like, you know, it isn't even time until it was. Like, it's just, if you really understand that, you can't really be moving linear. Like, things happen over and over again, and they're already passed before you can even figure out what it was.
Yeah.
It didn't even time until it was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It didn't even time until it was. Yeah, that's.
But we're in that right now is the point. If we don't make that jump, then we're not. Nobody.
We're in what? Whoa.
In the time of year of the Easter story.
Yeah, we're still in that, you know, the pre-Pentecost time.
We definitely are on that, but we're about to end the first full moon cycle. You know, it's tied to the first full moon cycle tomorrow.
That's crazy. That
do you remember when the last eclipse was?
No,
what you were doing?
When was that?
I looked it up. It was 2017.
It was 2017.
7 years ago. It was
what
August
day?
27. August 2021. 2017.
August 21, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Last American eclipse.
Yeah, I was probably in. Yeah, I just had knee surgery.
You did?
Yeah, I had knee surgery in June 2017. And then I was just coming out of that. I was trying to be.
I was just starting the pod, dude.
Wow. Yeah.
May 2017, I started it. It's like episode 9 or something. I found it.
Yeah.
It was on Welbeck. It was my first Welbeck pod. Dude, the last eclipse made me do a Welbeck pod.
What was your first pod?
Ever?
Yeah.
It was a solo pod.
And the
second pod was with Viva on damn Food of the Gods by Terrence McKenna.
Oh, yeah?
Which is also
yeah.
infamously the first part, like the day we both discovered who Jordan Peterson yeah. was. Like, it just devolves. Yeah. The second half is just.
Yeah.
I think we were on Adderall trying to describe, like, trying to understand.
what's up with this guy?
Was that Raph?
Give me some of those papers.
We went on Rogan for the first time. We've both
day.
Seen it. Yeah, we're both just like. So hierarchies, right? So the snake.
But I guess that was kind of on the retelling the old stories.
Who?
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, he's
at his best. At his best when he doesn't get fucking.
No, because there's something about that.
Yeah, there's something about that. I'm really on that right now.
The retelling of the.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I just can't believe.
It feels like Bovary was on. I mean, it. Even if that's not a specific old story, that feels like it was. An old story, just, you know.
The Madame Bovary?
Yeah, just woman gets caught up with, person gets caught up.
Yeah.
With materiality. Yeah. And that's, it's kind of like Don Quixote a little bit, where she, you know, he was reading all them novels and he went out in the world. Though, to different effects, right? He wasn't deceiving anyone.
Yeah.
You know, that, Flaubert writing crazy, some woman deceiving everyone and fucking buying a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he wild for that, dude. Yeah, I took the line in Matthew when he's like, shopping is like, he's like, you should not be wanting to buy more clothes.
Like, wait, in the Gospels? Yeah.
Yeah, in the Gospels. He was like,
yeah, Matthew,
you should not want nicer clothes. Yeah. Like, if you do, like, that's a sin. Like,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, poor. Oh, there's a funny scene in. And it's kind of, you know, you can see, like, Celine in it. You can see Welbeck in the Flaubert.
You can?
I feel like, you know, especially Celine, like, because he's a doctor in Journey to the End of the Night, right? There's a funny scene where there's this servant or whatever. He got a club foot. Or he works in the stable. He's a stable boy.
Yeah.
Right? And the pharmacist got all sorts of ideas about medicine and shit like that. And he reads about this surgery to repair a club foot. And he goes to Charles and tells him, oh, you ought to do this surgery on this stable boy. And he's like, no, I can't do that. And Emma's like, no, you should, because she's thinking in her head, oh, he could get famous with this. Like, whoa, he could be a high, they'll be talking about it in Paris. And they totally fuck up the surgery. Like for a moment, it looks like it went well. And the pharmacist is writing an article about it. He's sending it off to Paris. He's like, he's going to be famous. And then immediately his leg fucking swells up and gets infected, and they have to cut the leg off. Yeah. And every time Charles avoids, the guy's walking around with a peg leg now, and Charles hears that peg leg coming and he runs. Yeah.
But Flaubert is implying that it's because of damn.
Yeah, fame, like the, you know, I guess the overreaches of that, of wanting more than your place.
Mm-hmm. Damn, dude. Yeah, what else about the.
What were you saying?
No, go ahead.
One book that Nabokov mentions a lot that I was just thinking about on the way up here is Tolstoy's first book, Childhood. Do you know that book?
I don't think I do. I never read it.
Yeah. I think that's one of the looks. Nice. I think that's like an autofiction-y.
Okay. Interesting.
You know, Tolstoy wrote down all his sexual escapades and everything he did, and he gave a journal of his shit to his wife before their wedding day.
He did?
Yeah. Just, and she was like fucking devastated about it.
Damn.
Right before his wedding. He just to be savage.
Damn.
Yeah. And then, he was not very good to her.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And then she typed up all his shit. Right. And
Tolstoy or Nabokov?
No, Tolstoy. Nabokov had a good relationship with his
same
wife.
Same thing. Vera typed up all his shit.
Yeah, but yeah, they were on a close one though. Yeah. I think they had a good relationship. I think they were married for like 50 years.
Okay.
Happily.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
But Nabokov's always going back to this, like in Lolita and Pale Fire and Ada, it's this like this childhood love thing.
Right.
Like
this
fixation on your first love in childhood. It makes you think like he had some girl in Russia before he had to be exiled.
Interesting.
Right, that he's always writing about.
It wasn't Vera? He met her in the States?
He met her in Paris. He was still young. He was still young, but he wasn't like, he always writing about, even in Lolita, like Humbert got the girl from way back.
Okay.
You know, at the beginning of that.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think he's, you know, he got a secret first love.
Right.
I don't know. But he met Vera when he was young, too, when he was teaching boxing in Paris.
Damn.
But I could beat his ass.
Yeah, dude. No, what was I going to say about... Yeah, I guess I was thinking about...
Okay, what do you think about Faulkner in terms of the autofiction thing? Are you looking for traces of his biography when you read it?
No, I mean... I think that retelling of the older things is like a way to get past the straight autofiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a way to do the autofiction without. Can I see that pouch?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just without doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But okay. No, I think there's
like Andrew was saying, disguising yourself. In
right,
the
but I can't really disguise, or I don't know. I think of more like. Yeah, the archetypes, and then like who plays? Because that's the
like,
thing.
Are you saying like moving it from the level of this is just autofiction to this is also telling an archetypal story?
No, this is what I'm saying, man. This is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that like that's why I keep saying this stuff about it being the eclipse right now, and like because it's like or it's like the thing you were saying before about Dante thinking that. He's Christ in the 3 days after getting crucified or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And like I don't know. I feel like there's something to making stuff. Yeah. Where you're thinking about things repeating. I mean, you know, in the book, in Sound of the Fury, like things I think he's walking around with the little girl, it's reminding me of him of like other encounters like you know, before it.
Yeah.
And that are similar, but it's like on a literary level, that's kind of going on too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you're reading something that like, is reminding me of.
You're putting it into like a conversation.
With your own shit. Yeah. So I think definitely, you know, I mean, isn't that the three things? It's like, yeah, the self that's like, can be, cannot succumb. Like, what if it's like this, like the self that doesn't succumb to like what the world says you should do and follow some like inner truth of like love. That's like Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Jesus going out. Then there's like the person, you know, the, all this past, transgressions you've done, you know?
Yeah.
Like Quentin, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then having another force, like, be able to forgive yourself for that.
Yeah.
That's like the Mary Magdalene, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And then the part that's like, I gotta damn keep the pure thing, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I gotta be greedy and fucking let my ego speak through and also if we're gonna get into his biography, like it doesn't matter if he had who his fucking sister is.
Yeah.
His damn wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Who he was with a girl through high school and then she left
him
because
she
thought he was
gonna
be a loser.
That's right.
And moved
and
married him and went to Hawaii and had two children with him and then came back after they divorced and she was dress was torn.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're right.
And she humiliated him.
Yeah.
And nonetheless took her back.
Yo, he's Quentin. Faulkner is Quentin.
Of course he's Quentin, bro. Of course.
Yeah.
I'm Quentin, dude.
Yeah.
We all know this. Yeah, that was a funny thing. I was out that night with those boys, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just getting warm. I'm spring. I'm sipping, ranting. I got Faulkner in my backpack. I'm just, you know, all the new truths, you know?
Yeah,
it was
also
April 5th, I think, when it was going on.
Yeah.
I was like, it's all starting tomorrow. but you know, and then someone asked me, who are you, you know?
Yeah.
And I was going through many different riffs.
Yeah.
You know, first I was like, obviously Quentin. I was like, nah, dude, I'm Jason for real, bro. Like, I was like, no, I'm obviously Benji. Dude.
Yeah.
I'm Benji, really. And then I was like, nah, but I could be. Yeah, y'all in the literary world think I'm Jason, but yeah.
See that?
Or I'm Cat, but I'm Benji for real.
Yeah.
That's what I said, but I could be Catty sometimes.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what I'm saying?
See, that's the funny, the only one with any sense of like real. Because Quentin's sense of love or whatever is perverted, obviously, you know, in a certain way.
Going through a tough time.
Yeah. The only one with the real sense of that encompassing Christian love is Dilsey.
Exactly.
Right? You know, for whatever
think,
it is.
But, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
But
it, yeah, okay. Yeah, you go.
Yeah, isn't that Quentin, like, you know, why, you know, Quentin's not trying to damn mess with that little girl.
No,
this is so
not.
Me. This is so me exposing myself. Oh, so but it was cool when Quentin was walking around that little. No, yeah. But I think
No. I agree.
The bell rang for both of them. She was some precursor to the.
That makes me think like it's him trying to atone for the initial like sullyment.
That's
right?
Why exactly.
And he's trying to be pure.
That's why
this
he
time.
Feels. He feels like.
See, and that's funny in the Christ story. It's like Christ is totally pure, but he has to take on everyone's sins. And so Judas is mad at him for sullying the whole purity, right? Washing Mary Magdalene's feet or whatever.
Right.
And but that's the whole point, is that Christ got to be sullied, you know, so that he can die for everyone's sins. For the resurrection, he got to be dirtied.
Okay.
You know
how
saying?
Does he get dirty? Through Mary Magdalene?
No, just through he's taking on everyone's sins.
Okay.
You know, that's it. He's just like, that's how he gets dirty. He's a, you know, he never did anything wrong, but he's taking everyone. That's why he does the heroin of hell and all that, because he took on everyone's sins.
Right.
You know, I think.
Yeah, or you just damn.
He's fucking Mary Magdalene. he's got her feet, their feet.
No, she pours it on his feet.
No, he washes someone's feet.
Yeah, he washes,
but it's not
Mary
Magdalene's.
Feet.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but
that's what like. Yeah, there was old traditions, I would say. Him and Mary Magdalene were fucking stuff like that.
Right,
heretical
right,
traditions, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
he hanging out with the...
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Mary. That's funny. Magdalene comes up in Bovary because Emma's thinking of what to name her daughter. And everyone's saying, oh, Magdalene's a popular name now. And
okay.
And the pharmacist's like, you can't name her after that whore.
Okay, damn.
Yeah. Or someone says that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's almost like I don't know what the meaning of the story is.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in the ways, like, he's interpreting, I don't know. It's like you can interpret it in a, it's kind of like how we synopsize stories.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I just want that framework for my own shit, I think, you know.
Like the
shouldn't talk about that, but.
Okay.
No. Like, yeah, different archetypes. You're like, you don't know who. You know, I guess that's really what the Emil Box reading. Like, it's like, you know, he's saying it's like everyone's everyone. Like, you're Pontius Pilate too. Like Pontius Pilate like does the thing.
True.
And then
everyone is everyone.
Yeah, and then he turns and realizes he's innocent at the last minute, but then he just gets overrun by the mob. Like,
and they free Barabbas.
That ever happened? You know?
Yeah. You ever get overrun by the mob?
No, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah.
Isn't that how you're supposed to read the parables? That's how I feel like I'm reading the parables. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you maybe grew up a little more Christian, so you got.
Yeah, I mean,
you got the hard takes.
Wow. Yeah, you did the that was funny. Andrew was going. You did the non-denominational.
Yeah, for
non-denominal
sure,
confirmation. You said I
exactly.
I confirm my belief in general Christianity.
Yeah. No. Was it funny. Was definitely some real, but you know, yeah, there was that sick ass Gagosian piece on Steiner that I just found and read.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Goes to the Goethe on him. Yeah, he kinda makes the case that like he's way more influential than
Steiner is?
Yeah.
I see his name like pop up like randomly.
Or it's like certain art, I mean obviously like
yeah.
Bello was reading him and stuff and writes about him, and then yeah, the Tarkovsky connection was crazy. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Tarkovsky written about Steiner.
Oh shit.
Movie director. Yeah. Yeah.
And but, that
No, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, did you ever go through his? I got his commentary on the Gospel of Mark. You ever go
you
through
did?
His? Yeah, I didn't go through it. I read a few pages.
It's hard as fuck to understand.
Yeah,
he was just like basis.
And I just imagine that, like, those are all lectures to people. Just imagine him lecturing like everyone in the fucking audience. Like, what did he say?
Yeah,
what is he
dude.
Talking about?
People are feeling it, dude.
No, for sure. It's yeah. And I got that at the Anthroposophy bookstore.
It's so crazy.
On
dude.
15th Street.
It's
you ever
so
go
funny.
There?
I haven't been there.
No, you got to get him to sell Fuckboy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're an anthroposophist.
But damn, dude.
What else are you looking at?
Yeah.
You're looking at these Ben Lerner poems?
Nah, I was just cleaning up. I was looking at those a little bit. I was looking at those a little bit, but not right now. I've just been looking at the Sound of the Fury, honestly.
Yeah.
Reading that slowly, going back to the beginning.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. You want to pause real quick?
Let's pause. Let's pause.
Oh yeah, I found it. This is the stretch right here. It's like, okay, it's right before Julia. It's right before he gets caught by Julia. It's like when all the little girl catty stuff is reeking. Right? It's 171 and 172. It's like, we went away. The sun slanted through to the moss here and then leveler. Like a leveler.
Yeah.
More level.
Yeah.
It's a poor kid, you're just a girl. He's with the girl. Splash them, goes to the boys. Go on away, Harper. He's the second boy, he's with the little girl. Yeah. He's with the little girl. They run back and have three boys. It's like, poor kid, you're just a girl. It's like little flowers grew among the moss. Littler, keeps doing it. Littler than I had ever seen. You're just a girl, poor kid. There was a path curving along beside the water. Then the water was still again, dark and still and swift. Nothing but
thinking about the water the whole time, too.
And then he goes, nothing but a girl, poor sister, still upright. Poor sister, then we go, I tell. Poor sister triggers him.
Poor sister's not Nightowl.
No.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty. Yeah. This is a quote. Yeah. He tells a girl. He's walking behind her. She's getting in the water.
Yeah.
Nothing but a girl. Poor sister.
Yo.
Farther spats out. Goes, I tell. He goes, we lay in the wet grass, panting. The rain, like cold, shot on my back. Do you care now? Listen. Do you care now? Do you?
Sounds like they were fun.
Yeah. My lord, and then goes a paragraph. Still eyes out. My lord, we sure are in a mess. Get up. That's what's in the deal. Where the rain touched my forehead, it began to smart. My hand came red away, streaking off paint in the rain. Does it hurt? End of paragraph?
Yeah.
No period. Does it hurt? So he says to her. It goes, new line break. Of course it does. What do you reckon? Does it hurt? What's going on? New memory. I tried to scratch your eyes out. My lord, we sure do stink. You better try to wash it off in the branch. And of eyes out. Back to the river. Him talking to the girl again. There's town again, sister. Still talking. You'll have to go home now. I've got to get back to school. We're back real time with the little girl.
Yeah.
Right? I've got to get back to school. Look how late it's getting. Still talking. You'll go home now, won't you? And then he goes, but she just looked at me with her black, secret, friendly gaze. I love how she keeps looking at me.
Black, secret. Wow.
And she kept looking at me with her black, secret, friendly gaze. The half-naked loaf clutched to her breast.
Whoa.
Then he goes, it's wet. The loaf gets wet. He goes, it's wet. I thought we'd jump back in time.
Is that what he says?
That's what he says. You think of back of, you know, and he goes, I took my handkerchief and tried to wipe the loaf, but the crust began to come off, so I stopped.
That's crazy.
Then he goes, we'll just have to let it dry itself. Hold it like this. She held it like that. Okay, then that line. You tell a little girl, hold it like this. She held it
That's crazy.
It looked kind of like rats had been eating it now. Because he messed it up trying to dry it with the handkerchief. He messed it up trying to dry it. And then it goes, I tell. Lowercase.
Yeah.
The first word. Still, same paragraph.
Yeah.
And the water building and building up. The squatting back. The sloughed mud. Stinking. Surface word. Pocking the pattering surface like grease on a hot stove. I told you I'd make you. Line break. I don't give a damn what you do. Then, next line, back to road time. Then we heard running and we stopped and looked back and saw him coming up the path, running, the level shadows flicking on his legs, and soon the cop.
Wow.
This is the stretch.
That's crazy.
This is when
it seems like.
But it's so, isn't it that, so how, so beautiful how.
That's so good.
Dude, and I've seen all of that. I've seen all that like a movie. And I was,
And then I was with
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's crazy, right? 171, 172.
And now that's where it seems like, they're fucking.
And then he goes, there's Julio, who's Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
Caesar.
Oh, Caesar.
It's Julius Caesar. And he speaks a different language. Italian.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy. I was listening to the pod and I thought that I was so mad at myself. Yeah. I mean, that's why I said the pod was trash. I was like, yeah. Little dumbass, you don't get any of this shit.
Yeah.
Right?
No, see,
Julius Caesar.
This is the thing you gotta come in with.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
That's great. That it's Maundy Thursday.
It's Maundy Thursday, bro.
Wow.
Look at this crown, dude. Dude, and he tried to get the bread.
Yeah.
Like he all blacked out. He tried to church caddy. He bread. He all, this looks like dead rats eating it now. I can't believe I dropped. I'm like, I reckon you gonna have to just air that out now.
Drying the bread is crazy.
Drying the bread by
and he scrapes it off. That's so funny.
And dude,
no, and then the cops come. It's like Jesus in the garden.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Wow.
You have to look how beautiful it is laid out.
Yeah.
Like, and now
that's crazy.
Dude, look at this.
Yeah.
Right before that. You keep your nasty old hands off me. It was your fault. You pushed me down and I'm mad at you.
Wow.
See, this is the evidence page. He goes, I don't care. She looked at us, stay mad, she went away. It's like we began to hear shouts, the splashing. So they're already coming.
Yeah. Wow.
They're already coming before this.
Wow.
We were dancing sitting down. I bet Caddy can't dance sitting down. Stop that. I was just brushing the trash off her back with her dress.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
This is the period.
That's crazy.
169.
And with the Absalom evidence, dude, you got some evidence.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
That's crazy.